Hello, hello. Happy Sunday and happy waxing quarter moon. Welcome back to Badass Bitches Tarot with Cardzi B. If you listen to this podcast, you already know I'm a tarot reader and a fashion industry survivor based in Manhattan. I started teaching myself to read tarot when I was 11, and that eventually turned into the creation of this podcast, as well as a hand-illustrated deck of Badass Bitches Tarot that will be available this October. So, okay, heads up. I'm really sorry for any weird construction noises in the background. As you know, I live in New York City, so it's always a bit noisy outside, but I have no idea why my building is doing construction on a Sunday. I do want to get this podcast out to you in time because I know even if I put it out late Sunday night, I get Instagram messages and, you know, and emails like, is it coming up? Is it coming up on Sunday? So I don't want to disappoint any of you, and I appreciate the enthusiasm and love of the podcast. So we're going to just power through the construction, and I hope it's not too terrible. All right. So checking in on last week, were you guys feeling the Four of Cups vibes? I actually had a potential work opportunity come up that could have resulted in some pentacles, so to speak, but just was not something that excited me. And I did take a pass on it, remembering to take my own advice for once, which I often fail at. So yay, go me. If you felt tested this week by the Four of Cups or by our monthly card of the moon, you're not alone. Remember, the moon, aka Britney Spears, asks us to work through any confusion with the help of the moon's light and intuition in order to gain clarity. I have one friend who I read for, and she's been seriously experiencing the moon energy this week. She told me she's kind of known for being a total truth bomb, i.e. zero poker face. And she said the moon has guided her to tap into intuition to decipher how to deliver truth gently and with kindness. Personally, I recently had some things come up with an ex in a relationship I had walked away from Four of Cups style, and the moon kind of had me pause and think, okay, this stuff is coming up from the universe, testing me, and it's not fun. It's not a fun level to have to pass. But in the energy of the moon card, I asked myself, what do you really want? And are you being clear with your intentions to the universe? I.e., I want to operate as my higher self, sexy Britney, not lower self, shaved head Britney. So a little bit of a wake-up call with the moon. But don't forget, the reward in all of this in September's other card, the Six of Pentacles, is the balance and flow and energy of abundance repped by Miss J.K. Rowling. I haven't quite hit my stride with this card's energy yet, but I'm feeling optimistic about the rest of the month just knowing that she's waiting for us. So let's see what we have coming up for this week. Okay, the Emperor. So the Emperor's a good one, kids. The Emperor, or Beyonce in my deck, represents strong leadership and confidence. The Emperor brings in stability and security. This is telling us this week you're going to be on top of things and everything's going to feel much more under control than it has. The Emperor is also 4 in the Roman numerals in the deck of the Major Arcana, meaning it rules the 4 cards throughout the Minor Arcana, which represent foundations. With the waxing moon in Sagittarius and the sun in Virgo today, it's a great time to put projects or change into action. Sag and Virgo are actually the dream team. Sag has the enthusiasm and vision, and Virgo has the discipline and diligence. Combined, they have what you need to initiate and execute. My mom's a total Virgo, and we have very opposite skill sets, but as a result, we work incredibly well on projects together. So with these signs working together, it's the perfect time to work with the Emperor to help set up strong foundations for any initiatives you want to put in place. So it's good to know that the sun, the moon, and Beyonce all have your back this week. With that, I'm so incredibly excited to introduce Carrie Ann Kohler, the Director of Partnerships for A Practical Wedding and administrator of the nonprofit arts periodical Esopus. Carrie Ann is also the creator of the Woo Workbook, which I'm so excited to discuss with her today. Hey, Carrie Ann, I'm so excited to have you on.
Thank you.
So we actually met, I forget if it was Alexandra's or Ruby's event. So I follow everything that Ruby Warrington, who started the Numinous, and Alexandra Roxo, her partner on Moon Club, do. And I think it was Ruby's event, and then I saw you again at one of Alexandra's events.
Yeah.
And it was just, we had a lot of kind of stories in common through just how we had kind of found our way onto this crazy spiritual path. So I love that we've shared like those misadventures in the metaphysical world. Can you tell us a little more about that and what inspired you to start the Woo Workbook?
Yeah. So I have been sort of on this spiritual journey, getting more and more into woo type stuff for like 9 years at this point. I started off like really and sort of the productivity, like I want to fix my life, I want to get more shit done, like aspect of things. And then I read like the classic Eckhart Tolle, like, and that yes. like just it started changing my perspective on things. And I found like I mean this is all like the basic stuff that's out there, like Oprah and Deepak Chopra's like meditation challenges, and I like started meditating, and I just like started like dabbling more and more and more and collecting more and more information and more resources and like experts that I loved following. And last year I just completely burned out. I think from what I've heard, it wasn't just me. Like 2017.
Oh my God. 2017 was a horrible, mean year. Yeah.
Like 2017 was hard. And it felt like the world was this like merry-go-round that was like spinning faster and faster. And I couldn't get off. And I like didn't know how long the ride was going to last. And I just like kind of hit this rock bottom, even though like I'd been doing all this work on myself. And like there was nothing wrong with my life. I was just like exhausted and burnt out, and like realized that I wasn't like approaching the work from the right mindset. I was like trying to fix myself instead of accepting myself, and I was like learning all of these things without applying them. And then like one day it just kind of hit me that I wanted to create something that was like a combination of my day jobs, which I work for a feminist wedding website, which is like talks a lot about like relationships and like women's issues, and like has this real like sort of nurturing like feminist perspective on like life and like what we go through. And then I also work for a print publication that's like a multidisciplinary art magazine that like takes all these disciplines and like puts them next to each other and like is something you can hold in your hands. And I like sort of like mixed up both of those ideas in my head and was like, I want to create like a print publication that like you can, it sort of forces you to sit down and interact with it, and you can write in it, and you can actually like it prompts you to really do the work instead of what I was doing, which was like reading all these books and then like getting to the journal prompts and like never doing
totally well. I loved in, because I've been lucky enough to get like a sneak preview yeah. of the Woo Workbook, and I loved in your introduction how you said that there was a restaurant that you passed by, and there was kind of this guy
yeah.
who I thought the inspiration
yeah.
was really beautiful.
Oh cool, yeah. So I don't know, it just popped into my head that there was this like sidewalk cafe that I walk by often, and there's like this little old man that sits outside with his glass of red wine at like 6 p.m. on like Thursdays and Fridays or something, and it was just like that's all he does. He just sits there like drinking his wine and people watching, and like it's that seems like such a lost
and like
art.
Not on his phone,
like yeah
like...
No, I don't even know if he has a phone, like no friends, not on his phone, like just like sitting and like being like in the moment.
Yeah.
And I like I don't do that.
Like, yeah. I loved that about like the concept of the Woo Workbook, was that it's really kind of having a way to make yourself just be in the moment and connect with that, instead of having the distractions that we're just like, people don't even, I think, consider them distractions anymore. You're just so in that world. So really yeah. just being able to sit and like give that presence to yourself is such a gift that so many people struggle with, I think.
Yeah, thank you. That's totally what I'm hoping for.
Amazing. So I recently added a new segment to the podcast
yeah.
Called Coming Out of the Spiritual Closet, because I feel like I have to do this on like a regular basis, and then I hear these funny stories from like listeners and friends of mine. So was kind of the announcing the Woo Workbook for you, was that the big coming out of the spiritual closet moment, or have you had many leading up to that?
No, like literally this is my coming out of the spiritual closet moment. Like when I share this, like people will know.
I feel like I need to give you like a prize or a gift of some sort. That's amazing. Well, exciting.
I've been dropping hints. Like, it's funny because I thought, I don't know, it just seems like it's the kind of thing that you're supposed to make, like, a big Instagram announcement
right.
over. Like, I'm just gonna write this post and I'll be like, this is me now. But, like, that, like, isn't really how it works.
Yeah.
Like, it's more like you start, like, dabbling and you, like, more and more and more. And so it's kind of like, this became me over the course of such a long time.
Totally.
And, like, I haven't been, I know, it's true, I haven't been sharing it. And then I've been kind of, like, feeling braver as things get more mainstream, and like I'll share like, oh, I went to a moon ritual, or like I went to like, here's the tarot cards I pulled, and like people are accepting of it now, yeah, in a way that like I was afraid of.
Well, I know it's so funny because I always tell people like I'm gay and very out, and I kind of came out abruptly at 18 and was like, this is it, and everybody knows. And I mean, on an ongoing basis when I meet new people, sometimes it comes up and it's like, oh, if they assume that I'm straight, it's, you know, then I have to like come out on a continual basis. But I found the coming out of the spiritual closet much scarier for some reason. Like, I even had like a separate, I do have a separate Instagram for my tarot practice and kind of kept that very separate from like my fashion, you know, career. And then I similarly slowly over the past year or two have like started to like talk about that. And it's, I don't know if you find this, but like I'm usually like positively surprised by people's reactions. Of like, I was with these private equity guys talking, you know, and they all like own these fashion brands that I work for them on, and talking about how like I do tarot and I read cards, and that's like, you know, this whole other side to my life. And they were so genuinely interested, and I did not expect that reaction. I thought they were gonna be like, oh my god, why is she on our payroll, you know? So, yeah, have you had, like, mostly positive reactions?
Yeah, no, mostly positive. And it's interesting because even, like, a few friends that I had, like, mentioned things to years ago are, like, now, and they were, like, oh, that's a little weird. And, like, now they're, like, posting, like, on their Instagrams, oh, I got a tarot reading the other day. And I'm, like, fine.
Totally. Well, that's
just happy.
Exactly. No, I love, that's the thing, is, like, I love that it's becoming more mainstream. Yeah. And, like, there's kind of less shade thrown at us for that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's funny because I now, on my Cardzi B Instagram, I have this whole like witchy community that I follow and that follows me. And I find that there's, I don't know if you find this in social media, but there are a lot of people that are, it's, that have, you know, practiced whether it's tarot or, you know, energy healing, and now they're getting upset almost that it's becoming mainstream.
Yeah. Oh, no. Right? Sephora.
Oh, my gosh. I know. I'm probably going to get like hate for saying this. And like, I mean, I have to say, I'm not educated enough on that product of how it was created, so I can see if it wasn't ethically sourced crystals or sage. Yeah. Like, I totally stand, you know, behind them on that. But why are we upset that, like, people that may not have access to this, if they're first, like, if they live in the middle of the country where there are not metaphysical shops and, like, witchy stores on every corner, like Brooklyn and Manhattan, like, this may be the only place that they get to connect with that, and that's going to be, like, the gateway to their healing. So I don't understand why it's, you know, I think it's, like, the more exposure and, like, the more that, like, offers this as a healing tool to more people is a beautiful thing, but that's just, that's my viewpoint. I know it's not a popular one.
I totally agree.
It's like, you know, and it's funny because I've heard the same standpoint on like other, on other like marginalized or minority based things that are becoming mainstream in retail. Like when everyone started celebrating Pride and like they have like Pride shirts at H&M, people are like, they're just capitalizing on, I'm like, well, good, because it's exposure. Yeah. Like, yes, they're making money,
it's,
but
it's normalizing it.
It's exactly, it's so, and I feel the same way about like, yeah, like tarot and you know, all of those practices. So that's just my standpoint, but I'm glad that you agree.
Yay.
Good energy. Exactly. Yeah. I celebrate that as well. So, like, that being said, what piece of advice would you give to someone who's starting out on kind of that spiritual journey? Because I know it's kind of, it's so individualized and everyone's navigating their own way. And I know there's not, like, one way, but what advice would you give to someone that's...
That's actually literally is my advice. This was a Ruby quote, since we're giving Ruby love today. she said, follow your curiosity. And, like, that's exactly what I would tell anyone. It's like, just... follow the stuff that interests you. Follow the stuff that resonates with you. Just because everyone says, like, oh, you need to be meditating, like, doesn't... and if it doesn't resonate with you, like, don't force it. Or, like, look into, like, there's tons of different ways to meditate. Like,
yeah.
There's hypnosis, and there's guided meditation, and, you know. So, do what works for you. Do what feels good to you, and, like, don't worry about the other stuff.
No, I think that that's so beautiful, and I think that... like, and I think one of the things that from like the, like I said, the preview that I was fortunate enough to get of the Woo Workbook is really just kind of celebrating where you are, because I think there is this pressure, like in our society in general, but even in the spiritual world of like you said, am I meditating right? Am I doing it enough? Am I? And it's just like, okay, like, let's just sit in this. And like I loved one of the things that you addressed of saying, like, I may not be at radical self-love. Like, I'm getting to like,
oh yeah, I'm like not at like I'm aiming for self tolerance.
I love at that. All times, and I think that's like, that's so many people. I think there are like I think that it can be. I mean, I don't know if you've experienced this, but conversations I've had with friends that think that I'm like way like woo out there now are like, oh well, I like the whole radical self love thing. You can see is alienating to them. They're like, okay, I'm like bumper sticker girl, but like it's a process to get to there.
Everything's a process,
and I love that's what I love
it's
about. It's okay that it's a process. Like I literally, like I would say a year and a half ago, like fucking hated myself. So to go from that to be too. Like, yeah, like I'm kind of cool with me.
That's enough. Like, it doesn't have to be 100%. If it's like 70%, like that's huge.
Yeah, and it's you know it's funny because I love that you know your story of you said you had really started this 9 years ago and you're like there were no quick overnight answers and you were still finding your way. Because to me, your story is such an inspiration. Like when I, like I instantly connected with your energy, but then when I kind of like learned more from talking about you and read your backstory in the initial drafts of the Woo Workbook, I was like, that you are such a fucking badass and it's such a beautiful story. So seeing that amount of progress is so encouraging. And I love that you do kind of teach that it's not necessarily overnight and it's not linear. It's kind of like a spiral.
I mean, and it's, oh man, I just literally learned about the spiral, like the healing spiral concept like a month and a half ago. And I was like, why is no one like talking about this? Like, is that it's, there's ups and downs and like you are always moving forward, but just because you feel like you're moving back, like that's okay too. And
Oh, it's so, and it's funny how I think that, like, especially in New York, there are, everyone's very driven, there's a lot of successful people, there's a lot of financial abundance, but I've met so many people that they're like, no, I'm still working on X, Y, and Z, and I think that's so inspiring to learn that, like, it's never just to, like, check, I beat the level, and it's fine, like, everybody is working on shit, and that's what I think I'm so excited to, for your workbook to get released and be able to work with it personally, because I think to like it also makes you check in to like continuously. One of the journal prompts that I had looked at in the draft was like, okay, like where are you at now, and then going back to that, and it's like being able to kind of recognize and celebrate the small wins and progress.
And like one of the things I realized last year and why I was inspired to create it was that I wasn't keeping track of my like inner progress. And because it's invisible, like you just like don't, like you don't have any markers. If you don't write things down, like you have no idea how far you've come.
Well, I know, like, we were at one of Alexandra's events, and you had shared a story, and just even, like, that story, I, like, I remember I came up and hugged you, and it was, like, the second time I met you, because I had connected to that, and when you told the story from the viewpoint of where you were a year ago versus, you know, this year, I was like, oh my god, that's so much progress, and I think that we don't, a lot of us, like you said, it's kind of invisible and intangible, but like you can see it in your friends. Like you can, like I can hear it in your story and be like, oh my God. But like being able to kind of celebrate that for yourself and be like, no, I am moving and evolving. Really to me is like, I think the essence from what I'm getting from it so far of the workbook, and I'm so excited about that. So when is, so is it, is it biannual? Is it quarterly? Can you tell us more about
going to be quarterly. Okay. The first edition is like kind of a mini like starter edition that's going to be coming out at the end of October. And that'll see us through like the end of the year.
Oh,
and
I love
it's going to be like quarterly on the seasons ideally, because also like self-care practices, like it's okay that if they're not all the same all the time, and like the things you want to do in the winter are just not the same as like the things you want to do in the summer. So I want to try to be mindful of like, what, like, I mean, that's going from like a northern hemisphere, I have seasons perspective, but I think it's good sometimes to like, I don't know, really tune into the cycles of nature and your body and like honor them.
No, I love that. And I think that it's true, because I think that when you kind of make blanket statements of like self-care is this, like you said, that changes seasonally. It changes, like for me, like I'm so attached to like the moon cycles, and as I began to like study it more and like become connected to it, was like, oh, this makes sense why I feel this way. So I think that like having a quarterly journal that's timed with that is, it kind of helps you check in with those cycles too. That's amazing. And yeah, I'm going to be hopefully working with you on some of the tarot aspects of the journal, which I'm so thrilled and flattered and excited.
Me too.
I'm
so excited.
So that being said, I ask everyone this on the podcast, do you have a favorite tarot card and what is it if you do?
So I'm going to go with a really controversial answer and say the Nine of Swords.
Wow.
And I will tell you my story with it. So I was the person that like also sort of dabbled in tarot in like junior high.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was starting to tell you that like I don't even remember where this came from, but there was a magazine, like a teen magazine, that had like a deck that was like perforated and you could pull it out and like make the little cards, and like it terrified me. Like, I don't know why. I thought it was like this weird occult thing and it was like gonna like tell my future and everything was gonna be
awful.
I
get a lot of people that say that. Like, yeah, that are like coworkers that are like, I don't wanna know.
And I'm
like,
yeah. 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 I was like so afraid of it. And I like literally did not come back around until like last year. And I started pulling a card a day and like was just like, what's my card today? I'm gonna start learning the deck. And one day I was going to get on a flight and I have like horrible anxiety flying, and I pulled the Nine of Swords and I had like a mental breakdown.
God. Yes.
That like it, you know, danger, danger, danger. And then all of a sudden like it hit me that like the card was just reflecting me.
Yes.
And then it wasn't
of
like
where you were at.
Yeah. Then it wasn't like a bad omen. It was just like, this is where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. And like that was like a huge turning point in like how I like personally use tarot now, where it's like very much about like when I can't tell what's the mind and like what's the like what's my intuition, like what's my like gut saying, like that will like pulling a card will help me.
I think that is beautiful. And Nine of Swords, for those of you who aren't familiar, it's Tanya Harding in my deck.
Oh, nice.
That says a lot.
I love Tanya Harding. It's kind
of like the it's ominous. It's you know, bad news. It's kind of a victim card, more or less. And so that, but it can't, like the reverse of that is like working through it is, you know, it can be turned around, which I, Tanya, go her. But it is really like kind of a victim energy. And a lot of times people don't necessarily like to pull that, but I like that story and how that kind of changed a relationship with tarot, because that's how I look at it. And I always say to clients who are new to it and haven't had a reading of like, I'm not like, you know, I'm not a medium.
Yeah.
It's just like a connection to your, and clarity on your own like process of where you're at subconsciously sometimes. So I think that's beautiful. I think that like now makes me like the card more. I already liked Tanya. So that's yeah. So
awesome.
Do you have a card that you get that you feel like hates you and like is like bad energy when you see it?
So I don't think I've been like doing it long enough to have that, but I
that's
am
good.
The kind of person that like gets like, I keep getting the same card until I like get like what I need to get from it. Like literally yesterday, my official card of the day was the Tower reversed. And then I was like, oh, I just want to like check in on something else. And I like grabbed a different deck and I shuffled it and blah, blah, blah. And I pulled the Tower again.
Oh my God.
And like, that's like how it works for me, where I
that
just
happens
keep
so much.
Getting the same card until like I finally, I don't know.
Oh yeah. I was doing a spread about like an unpleasant ex situation this week. And I literally was getting either the same cards or variations of this, you know, that were like along.
Theme.
Yeah. The same theme like three times. And I was like, okay, noted. I got it. I'm just going to walk away from it. So I think that's hilarious when that happens. I like the Tower too, though. I think that it's like a good, once you work through it, it's an empowering card, right? So I love that. All right. Well, before we go, is there any, where can we find you on social media or online?
Yeah, it's going to be,
thewoworkbook.com
and on Instagram.
Okay. I'll post that in the episode notes for you guys too. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Carrie-Anne.
Thank you.
So stay tuned for the Woo Workbook launch end of October, around the same time my cards are launching, and I will be contributing to the tarot section of the workbook. So she's amazing. I'm so excited to collaborate further with Carrie-Anne, and definitely check out thewooworkbook.com and the upcoming Instagram for Woo Workbook, which is the same name and will be posted in the notes. So I didn't receive any listener coming out of the Spiritual Closet stories this week, but I do have a successful one of my own. So I was headed out to my friend's birthday in New Jersey on the ferry with Lola the Dom Pom in my purse, and this gentleman sits down next to me. He told me he works with decor and flowers for events and then asked me what I did. So I paused. I assumed it would sound way cooler to talk about my fashion career, but instead I decided to challenge myself to come out of the spiritual closet and told him, I've worked in fashion forever, but have recently been rediscovering my passion for tarot and created my own deck and podcast. Well, turns out that Matthew, my new BFF, not only loves tarot, witchcraft, and Madonna, but is actually opening a store, Witch and Famous. Best name ever, by the way. And he's interested in carrying and doing an event with Badass Bitches Tarot. So check him out on Witch and Famous on Instagram because he's amazing. So basically, a big win for this week's coming out tale. Please keep your own stories coming, you guys. You can message them into @CardsyB on Instagram. So for a quick recap, the month of September is brought to us by Brittany the Moon and Six of Pentacles, aka JK Rowling. This week's message is the Emperor. Beyonce's in the house to help us feel like we got this, things are under control, and we're setting up solid foundations for any projects or changes we want to initiate this week. Don't forget to check out CardsyB on Instagram, and if you haven't, please rate and review this podcast if you get a sec. Also for New Yorkers, I'm now reading Sunday Lunches at Green Pear Cafe, as well as the upcoming L Girl Party on September 30th. And I'll be working with Rise Gatherings as their featured tarot reader for this year's retreat. So stay tuned for more details. Thanks so much and stay magical AF.